What's up, guys? Welcome back to the R&B show. I'm with my co-hosts Brady and Ridge here. Hope you guys had a good week. Our verse for this week is 1 Peter 4:8, which is, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. So that's a great verse for kicking off this week. We have a special guest on the episode, Graham Ward. So
thanks for having me, guys. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. So Brady will kick off our questions for today's episode.
Yeah, guys, what's up? Back again for episode number 3. And today we obviously have Graham here, and me, Graham, and Noah, I went to school together. And obviously me and Noah stayed in Florida, and Graham left for college outside of Florida, in Michigan, actually, Calvin College. Do you want to tell us a little about that?
It was kind of a spur of the moment decision, honestly, because when I was senior year playing football, I didn't really want to pursue that in college because I didn't really like it enough, and I got an opportunity to play in college, and I took that as one of my offers up in Michigan. And it was tough, honestly, because all those kids up there are from Michigan, and being the only kid from Florida, you're kind of like the odd man out. And it was fun. I still have friends up there that I still talk to, but going from Florida to Michigan is definitely a big change.
Yeah, and I remember you were telling us that they didn't really have a football team before you got there, so it was kind of just, everyone was just there to be there, and you guys practiced here and there and just watched film, and that was about it, right?
Yeah, last year was actually the first time they've ever had a team, so we just practiced and had meetings and had one scrimmage, which was offense versus defense. And so this year is their first year having a full team, and so they're having games this year. So last year was a big, big difference, playing games every Friday to not playing anything at all.
Yeah, and didn't Brady, you just showed me that they just got like their first locker room.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you missed out a little bit on that?
Honestly, yeah, I do. I do miss it because I left off like certain decisions, and I think they're good decisions, but yeah, I still kind of regret leaving that.
So what kind of led up to your decisions to leave there?
I kind of lost the desire to play. And if I wasn't going to put my all into it, I wasn't going to do it, because I'm not going to walk out on that field and like not work hard, mm-hmm. and then have to face my coaches and teammates. And then also being that far away from home like took a toll on me mentally. And the weather there is brutal in the winter, not having any sunlight, snow all the time. I just felt like I was losing my mind up there.
Yeah, that would suck.
Well, I hate Florida for the fact that it has no snow and has sun all the time, but
agree to
we
disagree.
Win some and we lose some. I just can't stand
I don't want snow
90
here.
Degrees year round.
I
dude.
Want snow here so
no.
bad.
No. Obviously, moving on from that, we obviously had, so since you came back to Florida, you were living with your parents a little bit, and then you made the decision to go ahead and move out. How was that? I mean, especially at 19 years old, what was the thought process? Like, what were you going through your mind this whole time?
It was a little too impulsive. So I came out of college freshman year, had no goals, no idea what I was going to do. And so I started working, and one of my friends, Jake, who's my roommate now, asked to move into a townhouse. And I was like, yeah. I didn't even ask my parents. I didn't even think about it. I was just like, yeah, let's move in together. Had no money saved up, probably like $100 in my bank account. And he's like, okay. So I worked all summer, didn't tell my parents. And then a conversation came up. And they asked, so what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm moving out. And my dad was like, well, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, I'm moving out with Jake. And he was just like, oh, no, this is just horrible. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he's like, oh, well, you don't have any plans. You're just doing it. And I was like, yeah, but I'm going to do it. And so I did it, and I've learned a lot from that so far.
Yeah, and Jake is going to be like, we're really looking forward to having Jake on this podcast. He's going to be so interesting, like, as well as you. Like, you have, like, a multitude of stories you're going to tell us and a lot of different things, like, from a different perspective that you're going to be able to give us. But Jake, like, I like that you mentioned that, because it kind of prefaces us for maybe not be next week, but it might be the next episode after that, mm-hmm. that we have Jake on.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a hard hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So touching back up on what you said, so your parents, do you feel like you had a place to go back if something went wrong, or like, how do you feel like that created any like tension between you and your family?
It definitely created tension those first couple weeks I told them, because they were still upset I wasn't going back up to Calvin to mm-hmm. play football
yeah.
and
right.
do school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were upset about that. And then I dropped another big bomb that I'm moving out. So my mom was worried, obviously, as a mom would, that I couldn't afford it. Right. And everything that comes along with moving out. And so, sorry guys, Rich just put on safety glasses for no reason right now. So I'm trying not to die laughing while talking about my life story. But yeah,
I don't know, bro. I found him in the room when I just went to go to the bathroom.
It was definitely tough because growing up, my parents obviously love me because I'm their kid, but I was never like really close and personal with them about anything. I got to talk to them, hey, I'm upset because I got a bad grade or I missed a tackle. But it was never deep conversations, no, nothing from the heart. Mm-hmm. So moving out and then trying to like have a relationship with them is like was tough at the time. So there were some things that had to happen so that like chain was broke between us that we could actually talk.
Yeah, like growing on both sides, obviously.
Yeah.
Any questions for you guys at all?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wanted to get the perspective a little bit because obviously, Graham, you were a friend of Josiah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to like talk a little bit about how like that whole situation in the last 10 months, like how that impacted you when you heard it and then how much you've grown. If you don't want to, it's fine. I understand it's a tough topic for everyone, but we've all also covered our basis of it.
So I remember I was in a football meeting. We were in a meeting for practice, and I remember getting a call from Tanner, and he was like, Josiah passed. And I remember I like just walked out of the meeting. I didn't even tell my guys, walked out. And I was like standing next to a wall, and he told me, and it was just like a weird feeling because I never felt that before. Mm-hmm. So I remember he told me, and I was just like, oh, shit. Like, that's all I said. I just like had no emotion towards it. I was just like in disbelief. And I remember walking back into that meeting stone cold. Like, I didn't tell him anything. And I just sat in that meeting, and I was just like, what just happened? And I was just, like, so shocked. And then after that, I had to go and work out for an hour and a half. And nobody around me knows what just happened, what I just heard. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had to go to an hour and a half football practice. And I was just, like, it was almost like I was, like, dazed. I was numb. Because I heard it, but it just like it hadn't set in.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's still kind of like that. Like I accepted it, but it's like I still feel like I could text him. We're gonna hang out this Friday. We're gonna go hang out.
Yeah.
So it's tough because I know that happened, but I'm still asking that question. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like why us? Why our friend group? Why this family? So. Yeah.
And I mean that's like the biggest question. Like. When it happened, like we were, the whole family was like, it's like, yeah, you hear about this kind of thing happening all the time. But for me, like it's never even happened to somebody I know.
Yeah.
So it's like, yet alone, like this doesn't happen
to
people I know. Like this definitely doesn't happen to us, but it happened to us. And it's been one of like the hardest almost years now, which is crazy to even think that it's almost been a year. But in the same time, I've seen every one of like his friends, like Noah, Brady, you, Graham, like Jake, Tanner, all of you guys like grow so much and use his story not only as like to tell the sad parts, but to be like, let me tell you about Josiah.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like that song, like, let me tell you about my best friend. That one, you know?
Yeah. I heard a quote a couple of days ago, and it's the good always outweighs the bad. So, like, whenever we talk about it, we're never talking about, like, one thing Josiah said. It's every single thing we always talk about is always good.
Yeah, yeah, always a good memory. Always a good memory. Yeah.
Everything that came from
I honestly can't think of a bad memory when I think about
Let me ask you, what is, like, the first time you met him or your first memory, like, the first thing? And it doesn't – Brady's come clean on the bads that him and Josiah has done. Noah has, so – If you've got a good story, go ahead and tell it.
Like, the first time I ever, like came in contact with Josiah was, like, in, like, fifth grade. And it sounds selfish when I say it, but I used to wear these certain socks to school. And Josiah wore them, like, the next week.
I was Nike like, Elites.
I was like, I wear these socks. Why is Josiah wearing them now? And then I think that honestly, like, stemmed because we always talk about how, like, Josiah always had, like, the cool clothes. And just, like, from then on, he was always wearing cool clothes. And he always had cool shoes. And that was, like, my first memory, was he had cool socks and cool shoes.
Yeah.
And that was my first memory. But like great memories I had of Josiah.
Let's do this. What's your favorite memory you had first? And then I'll follow that up with another question.
So we work for a company called Joe Hearn Events, which Brady and Tanner me. And Ridge has worked for.
I've got some stories about that with Graham if we want to dive into those one day.
Oh, wow, and, thanks.
And we had a job over in New Smyrna Beach for an event. And after that, we were like, let's go to the beach after. This is going to be fun. Let's go to the beach. And we were in Josiah's mom's car, the white Audi. Mm. And I remember we went to a parking lot, and we just started ripping donuts in the parking lot. Just donut after donut. And, like, Jake was, like, in the front seat. Jake was with us at the time in the front seat, like, upside down, unbuckled. And we're just whipping donuts, just dying laughing the whole time. And then we just, like, drove around New Smyrna Beach all night.
This poor Audi. It's been beat on already twice.
No wonder that
already twice
in the
last four episodes.
Every week.
And every time I see that memory on my Snapchat, it's just like the greatest memory I have with him.
Yeah, for sure. I believe that. Well, the follow-up question I was going to have was like, what's the craziest thing you guys did together? I don't know if that was it or if you can think of one, but...
I'm trying to think. That is pretty crazy. Oh, no. I got one. So, I think we were going out to eat one night. It was Josiah, me, I think like Luke, maybe Noah, and we were on I-4. We all know Josiah used to drive crazy, and we were booking it. And we're going, and this car is right in front of us, and I'm like, yo, Josiah, you gotta slow down. He's like, nah. Just goes over on the shoulder at like 115. Takes the shoulder at like 115. We all look at each other and we're like, oh, dude, this is not going to end well. Whips it back on the road like it's nothing.
The crazy part of that, about that is that's not the only instance I've heard of Josiah passing a car at over 100 miles an hour on the shoulder. But, yeah, I mean, the dude was crazy. He definitely lived life wide open and to the fullest. And when I say, like, there's not many 18-year-olds that lived a lifetime in 18 short years. That kid truly did. Like, it's wild. It honestly, it makes me, like, envious of... It's like, what have I done? Like,
yeah.
But yeah. Did you have anything else you wanted to dig into for that last question you had, Brady?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're here now with all of us back again in Florida. Is there anything that you feel like you've made great decisions on so far, or stuff that you wish you could go back and maybe, like...
Yeah, or even bad decisions.
Change, yeah, like, you know, it could be all good from here.
I'm still kind of on, like, the seesaw of, like, moving out, because I realized moving out helped me a lot, because I realized, like, I got to do everything now. I got to cut the fruit in my fridge. My mom can't cut it for me anymore. I got to do laundry, because my roommate doesn't like my laundry in there. And that, like, realizing that I don't have someone else to help me is kind of tough, but I don't know. I still kind of regret not going back to school this year. Even going back up to Calvin, even though it was hard, like, deep down inside, I'm like, dang, I think I could have actually done something up there. But
yeah, you could have done something, but in the same sense, you wouldn't be back here where you are if God didn't have that plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I actually ever asked you, Noah and Brady, what was your favorite, like, memory or adventure or anything? Because I know we had pretty much a whole episode, almost two, on Josiah. But I don't remember asking that specific question, like, your absolute favorite memory of him that you guys shared with him.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this in a couple episodes. But it was just, like, the one where we were on his boat. It was, like, me, him, and I think Hummel. And, like, I do a flip off the tower, and he throws a whole public sub at me. That was a great memory. And then other ones are when he would convince me to let him drive my dad's car, which my dad had a very fast car at the time. And he would hop in, and we'd just be on I-4, just flying, all gas, no brakes. I mean, it was...
What kind of car?
Mercedes-Benz CLS 63 AMG.
Does Bruce know this?
Nope.
He's going to know now. I'm sending this episode to him tonight.
That's not cool, bro.
He's going to listen to it anyways. Brady, do you have one you can think of off the top of your head? I know I just sprung that one on you guys. You weren't prepared for it, but...
It's kind of, like, relating to your story. When, like, right out of nowhere, like, Josiah, like, we were, like, sitting in class one time, and he's like, hey, man, look at this. And he showed me a picture of a boat on his iPad. He's like, it's like, this is my new boat. I'm like, dude, you're on Google Images right now. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, you just wait. And, like, 2 weeks go by, And then he's like, yo, can you come to like near Sanford where I'm at the river? I'm like, sure. Cause I'm living like Mary. So like I'm pretty close. I'm like, all right, I get in the car, 15 minute drive, whatever. I pull up there and you see Josiah and his dad's truck and he's sitting there with a smile from ear to ear. And he's like, no, I wasn't lying this time. And you know, it's got the huge boat in the back. And we went out with like me, James, and this was like the 1st of January, like 2 years ago now, actually. And it was like, it was so surreal. Was like, this kid actually like got a boat out of nowhere and he just acts like he's just a full-time captain. I mean, at first I got in the boat and I was like scared. I was like, does this kid even know what he's doing at all? And I mean, look like he had the open boat for like at least 10 years.
Yeah, he probably backed that thing up like he's done it 1,000 times.
One hand, but you know, behind the seat, you know, big pimping.
Using his rearview mirrors, not even looking back, like no. Turning around.
No.
Yeah, that sounds like him. For Graham, what are like, whether this was at Calvin in Michigan or here or in high school, like you can touch on all of it if you want. What are some mistakes that you've made and how have they helped you grow and how have you learned from them? Let's go in like chronological order. If you have like a mistake specifically, you know, from your younger childhood, but if not, then like, what would like, let's go high school.
I think the one mistake that sticks with me, it sticks with me everywhere I go. I feel like sophomore year, I started hanging around with some kids at a different school who I thought were good to hang out with at the time. Looking back, it wasn't. But I failed a drug test my 10th grade year for smoking weed. And I remember that, like, I thought my life was over. Like, I failed it. My parents were on me. And I still lied about it when I got caught. And that just, like, wrecked me mentally because I just, like, I let my parents down. I let my coaches down. And just, like, that was, like, such a dumb mistake to do. And that just, like, still, that, like, resides in me. Like, I made a mistake. And I don't know. I learned from it, though, because it took me away from those friends. And, like, I still went back to one of them. His name was Cole, who knows his neighbor. Like, we were still good friends, but, like, realizing that it takes kind of a catastrophic event to, like, really, like, knock some sense into you.
Yeah. And I don't think we asked this before. You grew up in church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you've kind of been involved in church your whole life. So you've got a decent background of faith. Like, you have a decent grasp of it. So the same question, basically, like going like later into high school or even starting college, like your freshman year of college, how was that?
It was fun, but there was a feeling like deep down inside of me that was like, is this the right thing to do? Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for my dad? So like, I really couldn't figure out what it was, honestly. Am I doing this for me or am I doing this for someone else? And so that was really like kind of a turning point why I came back to Florida as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those are all really great responses and we really appreciate you kind of like opening up on things with us a little bit. So let's touch on like your faith, like from childhood up to now. Where were your weak points in faith? Where was your strongest point? How has Josiah passing improved or even diminished? Like, it's okay if a really hard event like diminishes your faith, because obviously like you can be angry at God when tragic things happen. So like, if you want to walk through that a little bit, we can start. I mean, were you born like basically born in the church? Like, obviously you were born in a hospital.
But. Yeah.
Not true.
I've gone to Orangewood. I was a lifer at Orangewood. So from kindergarten to senior year. And I can't really remember going to church until I was about like 7, and we used to go to Orangewood, but it was kind of like lackadaisical. Like, we'd go to church, but I never really talked about it with my family about that. We never had Bible studies at home, and even going to Orangewood, I thought that was like my church, like that was good enough. And it was like that, honestly, to like 6th grade. I remember in 6th grade, we went on a field trip to Maitland Community Church, I think is what it was, and we were helping with Orlando Children's Church, and we were all in the church and we were praying, and he's like, raise your hand if you're not a Christian. And, like, I knew the Bible, but I knew I wasn't a believer.
Yeah,
I
didn't have faith. You hadn't, like, really accepted Jesus in your life.
I hadn't,
like,
given my life to him. Yeah. And I remember we were praying. And he's like, raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus. And I remember raising my hand. Like, we all had our eyes closed, and I raised my hand. And like,
I
prayed
never
this,
have my eyes closed when that happens.
And I, like, prayed the sinner's prayer. And, like, that's when it was, like, real. Like, I was like, I have faith in him. And everything. And then got into high school, and it kind of dwindled down back to, I go to church every Sunday, I go to Orange, but I have a Bible class, I'm good enough. And it's still a little iffy here and there, but bringing up that point about Josiah passing, how that affected me, I wasn't like angry, there wasn't like anything off of it. I just was like, this happened, and am I upset? Am I sad that he passed away? Am I sad for their family? Am I sad just because an event happened? And I remember walking outside, and my dad was like, asked me how I was doing, and I just broke down. And I was like, why did this happen? And we were talking, and I was like, I'm not mad, or I'm not angry at God, because I kind of like, I can understand it. Like, it was in his plan. Yeah. I can't argue with God about what was in his plan.
But there's like a big why.
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah. Even now, I still.
And I mean, I remember, not trying to cut you off, but I remember when I'd seen it in your face that one day, and I'd taken you back into the room, and I was just like, are you okay? And like, that was your thing, was like, why? Like, why did this happen? And that was like the first time I'd really got to like talk to you and get to know you a little bit back there, and you just broke down, and it's something I'll remember forever between us, like regardless of how far apart we grow, like as friends or not, but like you breaking down back there and becoming vulnerable and like just allowing like the embrace and like me to hug you, and like it's something I'll cherish for the rest of my life, like being able to share that moment with you.
Yeah, I got one question for you, Graham. So, like, going back on, you know, Josiah passing, you being away at Calvin, you know, prior mistakes that you made in your life, how has that taken a toll on your mental health?
I was listening to a podcast a week ago, which I sent to Ridge. It's called the Just Thinking Podcast, and it was about perfection. And I kind of sat back after listening to that, and I was like, I'm trying to be perfect, and no one on this earth can be perfect. And realizing that after him passing and being up at school, I was trying to do everything the best I could to look like I was, nothing fazed me.
Yeah.
Walk back into that meeting, stone cold, nothing. Get home, still try and hold it together. Just like Ridge said, walk into that room and I just break down.
Yeah.
And like taking a look back at that, it was like I was trying to be someone I wasn't. I was trying to be perfect.
Like putting on a facade. I'm like...
And I still struggle with that up until this summer. Just brutally, I tried to be perfect in everything. I'd clean my room every day, spick and span. I'd go to work, I mess up, and I would just beat myself up about everything. And realizing I can't be perfect is kind of like a weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
You're like, why would I even attempt to do that? You're not going to be perfect. You're going to fall short every time. So that is like really tough to accept that because... A year straight beating yourself up, trying to be perfect, trying to be something you're not, really hard on my mentality.
Yeah, you know, but that's good to kind of have.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's good to kind of have, you know, that realizing you're not perfect, and then kind of that God notices that it's okay, kind of just having that weight off your shoulders is kind of relief.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that might be something we should do an episode on, like mental health.
Yeah,
but let's touch base a little bit because we haven't really covered that in the last three episodes. And I mean, I can start, like, mental health, like, to me has always been something that's like fake. Like, it's like, oh, I mean, it's just like people are telling themselves that they have mental health like issues. Like, it's never like, I've never struggled with depression. Like, and I'm so grateful. I'm blessed. I've never, like, had anxiety, anything. I mean, obviously, like, I'll get a little bit anxious, like, when something's not going how I plan, or when my kids are just being buttholes, like, it'll send me into, like, a wonky mood. But when Josiah passed, that was like the first like bit of like mental health like issue that I ever kind of like felt, because I was always one that was like, oh, like counseling is like it's baloney, like it's fake, it's ridiculous, it's not true. Like there's nothing I can't, what am I gonna go like tell my feelings to someone for?
Yeah.
But when Josiah passed and I experienced like true sadness, because like my grandpa's passed, like, and we all expect our grandpa to pass eventually. Mm-hmm. Like they're in their 80s or whatever, and it's like you see it coming, you're preparing yourself for years for it. Nobody prepares themselves for their 18-year-old little brother to pass, and that kind of sent me into like a whirlwind a little bit. And it was like I had a lot of the same questions as you. I mean, even like being 9 years older than you guys, it's like, why was the biggest question, and I couldn't answer that. Mm-hmm. I wasn't seeking the right people to answer that like question for me, when in the end the only person I needed to turn to was God. And I give all the glory to God for keeping me out of a bad mental health state. But I would say that in these last 10 months was like the only time in my life that I've really experienced like some crazy like mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And it as a blessing to me, it wasn't even like, they're not even that bad. Brady, stop playing with your mic. We can all hear it. But yeah, it's one of those things that it's hard in today's day and age, like, and especially like me being 9 or 10 years older than you guys, like the generation, like my generation is like, are my parents, like my dad, it's just like, dude, suck it up, like boys don't cry, which you guys are kind of on the tail end of that generation, like, because you still have older parents and they're still in the same age group as my parents would be. And I know it can be really tough, but like the best thing in the end is just talk about it, like talk it out, find someone to tell it to. And that's what's been my biggest relief and release, is like after Josiah passed, I would find myself literally like, I'm at Publix and I'm telling the cashier, like, I'm be like, you know what, like it's bothering me today, let me tell Carla here what's up, even though she has no idea what's going down. Yeah. And I just like catch myself standing there for like 2 minutes explaining how the passing of like Josiah has affected me. And but not only like the bad parts, but it's like the way I was able to turn it around in my head was like, he made such an impact on me that I'm proud to be able to share the impact he made on me and everyone else with you.
Yeah. Mm.
So like that's kind of been like my whole thought on mental health the last 10 months is like, okay, like I might feel a little bit down, I might feel a little bit depressed or anxious, but let me turn that around real quick and use it as guidance for young men like you guys.
Mm. Yeah.
What about you, Noah?
My mental health got pretty bad in 2018. I was in eighth grade, and my mom got diagnosed with breast cancer, and like it got bad. I had pretty bad anxiety, depression, started seeing a counselor. You know, over the years, it got better. But there was a point in my life where it just hit me like a brick wall, and like no one knows except my mom. But like there was a point in my life where like I was suicidal. Like I thought I would be better like not here, not in this world.
Which we are so grateful that you are here and in this world. Like my life would not be the same if I did not have you in my life.
Thank you. You know, and then Josiah passing kind of, you know, that took a toll on my mental health because I was away at school. I couldn't be here when I wanted to be. But, you know, that got better. Coming home for the week that I was home, kind of meeting back up with all my friends and you guys, kind of that really helped, like, put my mental health to the side, like my anxiety, my depression, and just talking about it just kind of was like a relief to me, and I couldn't be more thankful.
Awesome. How about you, Brady?
Yeah. For a while, like when I was younger, like I had problems like where I'd, you know, I get picked on at school or something like that. And, you know, it got to some point where like I'd reach out to like people for help, like my counselors, and they'd be like, I don't know how to help you. And like, you know, I didn't know what to fix. And, you know, also my parents can't go to school with me. So it was like I was struggling a lot. And like all I could do is just really like transcribe what was going on at school with my parents after everything happened. So it was like I didn't get much closure on it. But then through the years, like, I gained more confidence in myself, and, like, I knew I was good. And then, you know, obviously recently with Josiah passing, I felt like for a while I was like, I'm still in like stay at grandma's, like where sometimes like I'd feel like get a random text sometime, like, all right, let's go hang out, let's go do something. But I saw myself for a while, and I know some other guys did too, where you feel like you had to be that shoulder to lean on, and that you had to be more mature for everyone else because you knew everyone else was struggling. And obviously doing that, you may have to push your feelings way to the side, and you got to, like, you know, kind of shove it down deep. Like, all right, I feel like this too, but like, I got to be here for my guys, and like, that's what I got to do. And that obviously for a while, like, it kind of hurt me more as like, I wasn't able to like describe like how I was feeling because I want to make sure everyone else felt good before I did. Cause like, I felt like I want my guys to be good and like everyone be like more, you know, productive of their lives. And like, and then I'll assess myself later. Like I got that later. Like I can fix my own band-aids. Like, and then honestly, recently I've been able to come through and like, you know, finally like put myself out there. Like, you know, I do feel this way too. And like, this is how I fixed it. And this is how I didn't need to do it on my own. And like, I can still talk to people and like, they can hurt as much as I can too. But like together we can become better, you know, not better, but more of like, you know, ease the pain for right now and like figure out ways to like productively feel better or like, you know, find some kind of solution where like, okay, well, I feel like this way today, but this is how I feel better. Like, I feel bad today, but you know, I'm gonna do this, maybe feel better. Or, you know, I don't feel productive today, well, here, I'm gonna do this instead. It's kind of like get your mind off it. And that's like, yeah, something I'm really blessed with you guys, because like that helps me keep my mind going. Like, all right, I'm laying in bed today, I'm thinking a lot, it's going in my head a lot, and then I get either a text from you, Ridge, or Noah, like, all right, let's go out, let's go do something, or, you know, Brecken's football game, let's go. And I'm like, all right, well, time to get my mind off something and on something else, it's more important situation. So
yeah, that's so good. And I just listened to a podcast the other day, and you guys know who Brandon Lake is, the Christian music artist? No. He's like, he sings like, man, now I'm just drawing a blank, like the gratitude song and the adoption song.
He sings Praise? Oh, I love that song.
Praise, yeah. Thanks, Jackson.
Yeah, thank you.
It's our cameraman that just jumped in for that. Oh, yeah. But he said in this podcast, and when he was also dealing with mental health issues, that he was using prayer as a last resort. And that's not how, like, and a lot of people do. It's like they've tried to do everything on their own, they've sought all the wrong counsel from different people. So it's like, okay, I've done everything, let me pray. When prayer needs to be your first defense, like things are going wrong, pray. And that's the first thing you should do instead of the last thing you should do.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, this is actually, I'm not gonna lie, this show, I've got goosebumps because the show's going so good. I'm so happy. Noah, what else do you have for us, dude?
So last Friday, I remember getting a text from someone saying that like Graham hit by a car, and I didn't know if he was okay or not. So I, you know, reached out to him, made sure he was okay. So like kind of like, how was it? Like, yeah, what happened? How was it going through that? Like,
it hurts. Getting hit by a car hurts, guys.
No way.
Yeah. So I was riding my bike to work, and I tried to merge across the road, and I thought I was clear. There's a car behind me, but he's
why
not.
Why were you riding your bike to work?
That's a deep story.
We'll get that, bro.
Come on.
Okay.
So, crossing the road, and all of a sudden, like, I just feel like I got shoved. I got shoved over my handlebars, and I just start sliding across the concrete. And this dude tried to pass me while I was crossing a road, and just sideswiped me. Then I just go flying off my bike, sliding across the road. And I look down, I'm like, no way I just got hit by a car. Like, on my bike, too. Maybe in a car, I can understand that. I'm on my bike, wearing a bright red shirt, and I just got hit by a car.
Not funny that you got hit by a car.
No. And yeah, but why are you laughing?
I was, like, on the ground, and I, like, picked up my bike and, like, tossed it on the sidewalk and kind of, like, crawled over to the sidewalk and just laying there, and I was like, oh, this sucks. And, like, my first instinct was, like, dang, I'm going to miss work today. Like, I want to make money.
Did you miss work?
Yeah. They made me go to the hospital and get, like, x-rayed for some reason. I don't know why. And I remember,
maybe because you just got hit by a car.
Yeah, and not in a car.
And I was so stunned. Like I had no idea what to do. And I remember, like, my phone flew out, my AirPods flew out, everything flew out. And like the first person I texted was my girlfriend Hope. And I was just like, hey, I got hit by a car. Don't want you to get worried if you like see me at the hospital.
Yeah, because that won't worry her at all.
And I was like, yeah, I just got hit by a car. I gotta get
started.
And he comes over and he's like, you need anything? And I'm like bleeding. And I'm like, yeah, can I get your insurance and your phone number and everything? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's like, so how's your bike? And I'm like, oh, it doesn't work anymore. it doesn't roll anymore. And he's like, okay. And I was like so dazed and shocked still. I was just like, oh, thanks for your insurance and phone number. And then I walked to work and called my dad. I'm like, hey, I got hit by a car. I'm alive, but can you come to work and pick me up?
Wait, so you still went to work?
Yeah, I walked into work.
Did the guy give you a ride there?
No, because I was already on the road to work, so it was like a 300-foot walk. And I saw my boss, and I was like, hey, I'm going to be a little slow starting today. And he goes, oh, why? And I'm like, I just got hit by a car. And he's like, oh, yeah, no. And he like grabs all the bandages and stuff and starts looking at my arm and leg. And he's like, yeah, you can't work today. You got to go to the hospital. I'm like, nothing's broken. My arm hurts, but... And then...
Well, you didn't know anything was broken. I mean, yeah. You could have had a concussion. Were you wearing a helmet?
No, but I didn't hit my head.
Miraculously. You were lucky, buddy.
Yeah, that's God sending a guardian angel.
I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now if I hit my head.
Yeah. How fast was he going?
Speed limit was 25, and he had to pass me, so I'm assuming over 25.
Yeah.
Mm. How fast were you going?
Eleven on a bike, pedaling as fast as I can.
45.
Bro's cooking on his bicycle.
Back to, you know, why were you riding your bike to work?
I think, so back to what happened in 10th grade, getting caught smoking weed. I stayed clean throughout high school after that, and it came back into my life this past summer, and even when I was up at school, I started smoking again, and it just got to a point where it's like that was a priority almost in my life. I liked it so much, and my parents found a little bit of weed in my car and took my car, took everything away, strip searched my room, and
Did they strip search you?
No.
All right, bro.
And it was just kind of like just like another big slap in the face, like, Graham, you just ruined your life again for that. Like, why would you do that? And that, I think that stems back to, I was trying to find something to, like, make me feel better. That was my, like, substance. I just, like, I tried to be, this is what my dad would say, a lone warrior. I didn't want to talk to anybody about how I felt. I didn't talk to my parents about how I felt. I grew up not talking about feelings.
Parents are usually the hardest people to talk to about how you feel.
And I remember getting home that day and sitting in the living room. My dad was like, so what's up? And I was just like, well, I don't have any excuse. You found it. Like, I can't lie to you. You found all the stuff in my car. And I remember breaking down. I was just like, I feel like I'm losing my mind. Like, this is my coping mechanism. It might not be good. It might be a drug, but that's how I deal with it. And I remember sitting there. I was like, I can't even talk to you guys as my parents. And I hate to say that. And looking back at it now, which is crazy to say because my relationship with my parents is like the best it's ever been in these past 2 weeks since that happened.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting there like, I can't even talk to you guys about how I feel. And I hate to tell you guys that, but I just can't. And that really like opened up a whole new world. So now I can talk to them about anything in my life.
That's good.
So they took it pretty good when you told them that you like couldn't talk to them. Because I know like some parents might be like, well, like they might get pissed off at you for saying something like that. But they took it pretty good about when you said that. Or I'm sure it hurt them. Like I'm sure that probably hurts real bad.
It was tough because in the instant they just found all that stuff in my car. And so I think they assumed there was crocodile tears and I was faking crying to get out of it. But that was probably one of my rock bottom points, was sitting there and like telling my parents like, hey guys, like I'm actually depressed. Like the stuff that goes through my head is the worst it's ever been. I'm anxious all the time. And I remember telling them that, and then my dad was like, I have the same problems. And I was just like, I've never heard that. Like realizing that the depression I have, the thoughts I have, is just like my dad. And now I can talk to him about that. I can talk to my mom about problems I have at work or how I'm feeling that day.
And that's super cool because, I mean, I've met your dad a few times and he's a super cool dude, like, in general. What did your dad, he's a photographer, right? Or is that like a hobby?
It's a hobby, but he's really good at it.
Yeah, like super good.
He loves doing it. That's his go-to.
Yeah.
But back to what you said about that mental health, how you kind of like, it was kind of like you didn't believe in it almost. It was like not really a thing. I thought that same thing. And then when I was up at school after Josiah's passing, it was just like uber depression. And when people say like, oh, they're depressed, it's like sadness. But it was just, I would come into my dorm room every day and just bawl my eyes out. Like, I just cry. I'm like, I hate my life.
Yeah.
And then I remember I'd talk to like my friends on the phone about how I was doing, and that still carried all the way even now. Like, I still struggle with like depressive episodes or like negative self-talk. I'll be at work and all I think about is like, I'm not doing enough, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I failed at this. And I started therapy a month ago, and I just was like, oh, I feel like such a wimp doing this, talking to another dude about my feelings. And it was like, I told Brady this on the way here, it's like a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah.
That I could get that out of me. I wasn't trying to do it all on my own. So it felt really good to, like what you said, talking makes a world of difference.
Yeah, that's so cool. And now that you say that, I've had a little bit of time to process. I guess I did have a few like mental health episodes because you guys are obviously 18, 19 years old. And yeah. But
don't do that.
And I didn't have the opportunity to be a 19-year-old when I was 19.
Bro skipped 19.
I skipped 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, all of it. Because I had my first kid. I had Brecken when, like, Deanna got pregnant. I was 18 years old.
Oh, dude, I thought you got pregnant. I was like, dude.
Yeah, I got pregnant at
18. What?
Surprise.
Ew.
But I guess, like, that is where I kind of would get those thoughts of, like, you're in my head, like, there's no way you can do this. Like, mm-hmm. You're 19 years old. How are you going to take care of a kid? Like, one... Two, like, Jackson was Brecken's age when that happened. And then I had to deal with the fact of, like, going to Deanna's little brothers and being like, we had to tell them, like, you guys know, like, we did this. We didn't make a mistake, but... Like, it, obviously it's a mistake in the church's eyes, but Brecken is not a mistake. At any point. And we apologized to them for what we did. And I remember when we were sitting around the dining room table and we told them, and Jackson was like 7 or 8 years old, and Deanna was just like, well, guys, like, this is really hard for us to tell you and everything, but I'm pregnant. And Jackson, like, wide eyes, goes, you're not married. And I was like, obviously we're not married, but this is where babies come from. And so, like, that's probably the most, like, mental health issue, like, I had ever had in my life up until, like, Josiah, was, like, me telling myself. And it's just like the Satan telling me lies. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not good enough to do this. Like, you can't take care of a kid, you can't raise a kid. And not to toot my own horn, but I'm doing a pretty damn good job at it.
Like, hell yeah.
I might lose my temper, but, I mean...
It's all love.
I'm doing the best I absolutely can, and that's really all that matters, is when you give 100% effort, then good things are going to come. And I'm trying to raise them up in the Bible and in church and with good, strong faith and all that, but... That was definitely the hardest, like, mental health point in my life, was me telling myself... There's no way you can do this. You're not good enough. You're not old enough. You're not going to make enough money, which, who knows, I still might not make enough money, but we're figuring it out. But, yeah, I mean, I really appreciate you, like, getting personal with us. Like, I know it might not be the easiest thing to do, but it's all coming together for such a good thing, and it's going to help so many people that listen to this, all 37 of them.
Yeah. Just to piggyback off that real quick, what you just said about that mental health and going through all those struggles, just our verse of the week that we had today, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. That love that the Hudspeths put upon you guys, it covered what had happened. Like, it, obviously, it wasn't the plan, but the love that they had for you helped you guys in the long run.
Oh, my God. Like,
and,
yeah.
And what I just talked about, my parents, like, they're obviously disappointed and mad about what I had done smoking weed, but they loved me through that. And realizing how much someone loves you, it covers what I've done. They love me.
Yeah.
Even though I've messed up.
That was one of the like biggest shocks when that happened. I know we're kind of going like on a, I don't know, like
a tangent
yeah. here, but when we told Deanna's parents, there was not like, and I was fully expecting to be like yelled at or like, get out, like you're done. It was literally nothing but love. And that means that Tim is the like idea of what all of us should want to be
mm-hmm.
when we become like older men and fathers and raising kids. Like that's a man in there that can see you messed up big time but love you through it mm-hmm. and only pour his love and witness to you and mentor you about it. Like that takes some balls to be able to do.
Yeah, it does.
Well, I'm like crying now, so go, Noah. I mean, you got the next question, dog.
Jeez, bro. Come yeah, on. So next question, is there like a realistic support system and kind of how it makes you stronger? Like kind of what's your like go-to support system, whether like a podcast or the Bible or...
Well, I would say what it used to be was any like a substance that would make me feel better, anything. I'd play video games, drink, smoke. That was my go-to because it was easy and it would solve the problem right then and there. But now, like what I just said, talking through what had happened with my parents and even with you guys, like telling you guys stuff you guys have never heard, it helps tremendously. Like that's my go-to, talking to people, talking to my parents about deep things. And then really, really realizing that reading the Bible is incredible. Like it helps you so much and it's like a guide to life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not there for no reason. And certain books help you more than you think.
Yeah. Yeah, like reading, like, I'm sorry, I like zoned out because I was reading something on my computer. You said the Bible, right?
Yeah.
I think I said, what was it, the first episode or the second episode? Bible, basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what it actually means, but that's a good thing to keep in your head. Honestly, I think that's like all the questions we have for Graham. You guys like have anything? I've got some stuff I want to like kind of bring up that me and Brady kind of talked about last night. But does anybody have anything else like you want to jump into or?
I have nothing. I have nothing.
I have nothing.
No? Okay. So we finally got Brady to come to Thrive with us.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I think it went on a wrong day just because it was very, very long. I think just because they were doing baptisms, there was 11. So I thought it was pretty sick.
That's awesome.
It's a lot, yeah. No, I'm not crapping on that. So don't get that way, please. No. It was like super like interesting. Like a lot of churches you go to sometimes, like obviously I'm new to it, so I've only been to like 4 or 5. It feels like kind of like a lot of churches, you feel like you just kind of like want to like don't get put on the spot because there's like so much people in the room, and it's like you don't want to be like that random like person who stares a little too long and like, oh, you over there, like you don't want to be put on the spot at all. And this church, I feel like if that was to happen, like I would be perfectly fine saying something or like, you know, feel comfortable in, like my own shoes. Like a lot of places you go to, you feel like you don't belong there. All right, bro, you feel like you don't belong there. And this place, like it was kind of like, those are flushing because like I didn't feel like I was meant to be there or like I wasn't. It was kind of just like a medium area. Like I could get to somewhere where I feel like I'm comfortable. Like this is like where I'm supposed to be. Yeah. And that was somewhere like I was getting close to. But I say it's a very like a very positive environment and like somewhere that I feel like I could grow a lot in.
It's kind of like a church that like they teach you how to swim in the shallow end.
Yeah.
Like if you get the reference of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's you can go whenever day you want to. Literally you could start tomorrow, being Christian, all right, I want to go to church now. And you wouldn't feel like you got there, you were missing something. A lot of places you go and all right, well, talking about the last 8 years we've all been together, here's what we're talking about this day. You feel like you've missed so much stuff. Yeah. The church felt all right, well, everyone's day one still. Welcome again. Or welcome for the first time. So that was really refreshing.
Yeah, that's good. I was talking to you. What were we talking about last night on the couch when we were watching the Patriots get spanked?
They weren't getting spanked as well. They lost by 3. They lost by 10, but they were losing by 3.
This is and it's something that after we talked about it, I prayed about it today and kind of felt I needed to mention it a little bit, plant the seed in you guys as young men.
All right, bro.
And
whoa.
And
no.
Anybody else who's listening, just kind of get it. But what were we talking about? You know what I'm talking about.
You can't put me on the spot. I don't know.
Tithing.
The what?
Tithing.
The what?
Tithing.
Oh, giving 10% of what you earn to church.
And
oh.
Obviously, I don't expect you to know anything about that. And I'm kind of talking to Brady right now. And really understand it much. Which I'm sure you've witnessed, I'm sure your parents have tithed your entire lives, like Noah going to church, and you've witnessed the fruitfulness that your parents have had, and I can't speak for you, but I know you grew up in church, so I assume your parents had the same thing. So to touch on it a little bit, the first meaning, tithing is the first 10%, the first tenth, that's what tithe is. It's an act of obedience to God. It's not you're not doing it out of because you feel completely obligated. He wants a cheerful giver. So it shows a reverence to God as our provider, and he doesn't need our money. We honor him with our first fruit that we bear. So obviously the Bible uses fruit and your crop and all that because they grew stuff and they raised livestock. So that's what it would be back then. But now this is what it translates to in modern times. It's an act of worship and it's dependency on God. It's us depending on God because it's you give your 10% and he promises that you'll be paid back tenfold. And obviously, it's not you donate $100 and the next day you're going to have $1,000 put into your bank account.
So that's not how it works.
No, not how it works. But coming from me, I grew up with nothing. My family, we were very poor, so poor that multiple nights we would eat bologna surprise. And that's exactly what it sounds like.
What is that?
Whatever leftovers we had in the fridge with some bologna in it. And it was bologna surprise. It was a casserole. And my parents gave me the idea and planted tithing into me very early on. It took me a while to really understand. It's I worked so hard for this. Why would I give 10% of it to the church? You're not giving it to the church. You're giving it to God. And for the church to use it as their ministry. And I know it can be hard to do because there's some churches that are very corrupt and that don't, do the right thing. But that's not what it's about. It's about having an obedience to God. And obviously, I don't expect you guys to Graham, you're the only one that works full-time right now. I don't expect you to oh, yeah, I'm going to go pay my 10% right now. But this, what I hope you get from this is the thought of it and preparing yourself and the idea of, okay, I see how that can be. For an example, Deanna and I went back when I started my pressure washing business. Deanna and I really had nothing. We were struggling and we still struggle. Sometimes to this day, there'll be really bad few months and it's man, we made hardly any money these last few months. But last year, we were in one of those spots and it was you know what? Cause I saw my dad, we'd have nothing. We wouldn't even have enough money to buy groceries. We'd have enough money to put some gas in the car to get the church and back. And maybe buy bologna and white bread, but he would still tithe this 10%. And now, like 20 years later, he's seeing that fruitfulness. Like, he's getting what he's earned. He's bearing the gifts of God. And back to the story I was telling, like, Deanna and I, we were in a bad, like, kind of a bad spot financially, and I decided to still be faithful, even though it was hard, and give that 10%. And literally, like, the next week, I get a call from Florida Gas and Transmission Company. I was like, hey, we need you to come quote this job. I go out there, and I'm like, well, this is going to be a $20,000 job. Quote, they're like, okay, accepted. We'll get you on it, like, as soon as possible. So it's, like, one of those things that it's like, wow, like, look at God. Like, he really can do, like, miracles. That's a miracle in my eyes. Like, yeah, I worked 7 straight days, 15-hour days for that $20,000, but
it's still money to them.
It's like, I bared the fruit that I had planted the seed for in the church. It's not like, it's the only thing, like, in the Bible that God literally says to test him on is tithing. And if you, like, he says in the Bible, and I'm pretty sure this is word for word, test me and see that I won't open the floodgates of heaven. Like, the one thing he asks you to test him on, and that's tithing. So ultimately, like, I really just want you guys to, like, have that seed planted in your head that tithing is a biblical law, and it is you testing God. And trust me, it will pay off, whether it's the next day, whether it's 10 years down the road, or any, like, it will pay off. And it is one of the best things. Like, I look forward to checking how much money I made that week when I'm sitting in church, and being able to type it in to the app and sending it off to him, because it's just like, it's like the faithfulness that I have from doing, it's just like, I know, like, God's got me. Like, I know it's going to be taken care of. But yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to touch on with you guys. And
thank you for that.
Get that going. Brady, why are you acting like you're falling asleep?
My eyes are wide open.
But yeah, do we have anything else we want to say? Or,
I mean, you got something?
Yeah, I got one thing to piggyback off his talk about tithing.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a sacrifice that we give as Christians. Like, we're giving up the thing that we almost want most. Everybody wants money. And sacrificing the stuff that we work for God's glory, is a tough thing that we all have to go through. And I always have this quote that I've used, and like in everything, is be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And that's it's uncomfortable to give the money that you work for to the church. Like, yeah. It's hard. It's a good thing to do. It's faithful, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
And you got to be comfortable with doing that, because you have faith in God.
And there's no problem. Like, if you get involved with the church and you want to, like, you want to know, like, you can ask that question too. You can call a meeting. Like, churches, like, don't, it depends on the church and the pastor. Like, some pastors are like, oh, I'm too good for that. But most pastors, like, if you send them an email, or if they have, like, a front office person and you're like, hey, I want to grab a meeting with you. Like, you want to grab some coffee? That's what I do. And I asked, I was like, where is our tithe going? Like, I want to make sure it's not just going to the fog machines and the lights and the big speakers and expensive guitars and drums. Nothing wrong with that at all. Like, whatever gets people in the door and changes people, like, and creates salvations and changes people from death to life. But I want to know where that money's going. And there's nothing wrong with asking that question to the pastor, because we are the church. The church is not the building that we go and worship in. The church is the people. And, I mean, how many times in the Bible did God go into a building, like, or God, Jesus, go into a building and, like, preach? Yeah, it happened sometimes. Like, he went into the synagogues or whatever. But 90% of his sermons were in a field or in a courtyard or on a mount, obviously. The Sermon on the Mount, like, that's how it was. Like, so a church is not a building. A church is the people, the community that come to that building and worship. That's what makes a church.
Yeah.
It's a faithful group of people who put all their faith and trust into God to do to fulfill everything they have in their lives to do. So I just hope you guys like accept that and
yeah, for sure.
Stop playing with your mic, Brady.
I'm not your kid.
I will spank you on this podcast.
Is that a promise?
That's come here.
All right, guys. I'll see you guys next week.
But yeah, I think that's it. I think we're going to wrap up. Like we always do, we will throw that verse back out at you. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And I think that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much, Graham, for being here and just sharing your story and expressing your life. Like, we're so appreciative of it. And it honestly was an honor to have you here today. Thank you. And just kind of like, yeah, we might have poured into you, but you poured into us like so much, and you've made an impact now on our lives and so many people that might potentially hear this. And like it's such a good thing that, and we're happy. We'll definitely have you come back. Yeah. Like,
thank you.
This can definitely be a
follow-up.
A follow-up and a regular thing. Where's Graham now, 6 months later?
All right, bro.
Yeah, come on.
But yeah, well, have you been hit by any more cars?
Hopefully not.
He's really got a vengeance not. Out.
For There's cars. An over under now.
Graham just goes out and starts hitting cars.
Yeah. Let's set the line at 2.5.
Oh, yeah?
Over.
I'm taking the under.
I'll take the over on that one.
I'm taking under.
But yeah, that's it for today. Peace out, everyone.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, whatever, guys. Peace.